praise the name of the Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our understanding. There's things to come that in the future that we're not really maybe quite sure of. We get a little bit of a glimpse of those things. But one thing that always catches my mind so much is that you'll see a little phrase in the scriptures and say, and in the ages to come. That's an amazing statement, you know that? In the ages, not age, but in the ages to come. You know, that's what is before you and I right now. You know, the evil one, he wants you to be deceived. He wants to keep you from coming to Jesus. And then once you come to Jesus, he wants to keep you blinded. He wants to keep you beat down. He wants you to look through your natural mind and your natural man. You know, and it's the way of the Holy Spirit that you learn how to walk in that heavenly man that you have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to live and how to walk in that heavenly man, woman, or child. We're talking about one that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the enemy wants to keep us beat down and bogged down, weighed down, so we can't receive or we won't step up into that new man. That man belongs to you. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that heavenly man belongs to you. Not only are you going to heaven, where our citizenship is even at this very moment and hour, according to the Word of God. Oh, may the Spirit of God open our minds and our eyes to there, that we are strangers and aliens living in the earth. I am not a natural man. I am a man of the Spirit. I am a heavenly man. That's who I am. Oh, yes, I'm still in this physical body right here, but one day I will lay it down. Well, not only will I lay it down, but oh, hallelujah, in the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall be taken up again. All right? And it will be a heavenly man in its fullness of glory. Are you with me? In its fullness of glory. This is the inheritance of the saints that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've got such a poor view of the end of life in this world. Those that are even in the church have such a poor view of this life and the end of this life. And the reason for that is because there's just too many of us that live a natural life. We're not living a supernatural life. We're not living a life of the Spirit. We're not living a life in the kingdom of God. We're living as if we're just like everybody else that's in the world. And we go about solving our problems in the same natural mind and the same natural way. This is not the will of God. I want to show you some things. I love this chapter right here. And I want to show you some things right here that talks about, you know, a vision. We get a vision of that heavenly man, that man that we have received in Jesus. You know that Jesus is called, that he's the firstborn of many brethren. Are you getting that? We'll look at that maybe in a minute in Romans chapter 8, that Jesus, he is the firstborn among many brethren. And the one thing about brethren that he's talking about is that, you know, when you're in the family, you're all kind of alike. You know, sometimes, you know, you got physical resemblances of one another. You all come from the same blood. You know, you came from the same family there. You know, and that's the way it is in the kingdom of God, only in the way of the Spirit. Now, here in this particular chapter here, they've kind of given up on things. They got two of the disciples. They're on the road to Emmaus. And there's some incredible things that take place here. You know that at that point in time, Jesus walks up to those two disciples at that time. You know, and all that was going on. And, you know, that's where you and I are going to take up the narrative. He starts talking to them. He starts talking. Jesus appears and walks up to them, and he starts talking to them. And this is in Luke chapter 24. And coming down here at verse 25, and he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? I want you to see that, you know, because Jesus has now at this time has entered into his glory. And then it goes in verse 27, and beginning with Moses and with all of the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as if though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." And he went in to stay with them. Now look what happened. He's got their attention, because we know that later they say that, weren't our hearts just burning at the time when this man was speaking to us? But you know, it's incredible. They didn't recognize him. It goes on in verse 30, and it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Poof. You know, he was gone. Do you understand that Jesus here at this point, he's walking in the glorified man that he received. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. And then he was raised in that body that he had as a natural man, although he was more than a natural man, that he was raised in a glorified body in the spirit man. And that's the inheritance that you and I have, that one day, according to the word of the Lord, and I'll turn there in a minute, I think, and that is that we shall be made like him. This is our inheritance. When we look at the image of who Jesus is in his resurrected body, we can look at it and say, my goodness sakes alive, one day that's going to be me. That's an incredible thing. This is that heavenly life that we have now already received. And the word of God is that's what the Holy Spirit is about. He's been given as a pledge. He's called the Holy Spirit of promise. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. And he's the promise that which has been done and been given will one day be totally and completely fulfilled. And in that day, we shall be like him. Now, we got the touch of the Spirit now. Oh, isn't that incredible? I can't imagine what's waiting on us. Can you? Glory to God. Because, boy, I tell you, it's marvelous to experience the Holy Spirit now, to find the fullness of glory, to find the fullness of joy and the uplifting power of the Holy Spirit that comes in your life, that he wants to bring in your life, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances may be. But you got the uplifting power of Almighty God that raised you above. You got hope, living hope that fills your soul, fills your heart, because you're not desperate everybody else is in this world. You're not hopeless as everybody else in this world, because you're in Jesus. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up and live in that supernatural man and to live in that heavenly life that has been granted to us. Why do we want to crawl on the floor when we can soar in the heavens? Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then he vanished. And then, of course, they ran back to the disciples here. Now look in verse 34, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they begin to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Here's verse 36. "And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst." Poof. Now here he is again at that particular point and time. And then it goes on and it says this in verse 37. "But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit." Or another version may say a ghost. And then it says in verse 38. "And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Now this is the verse that absolutely floors me. That of all that we're seeing here, We're seeing the character and the nature of that resurrected man. We're seeing the character and the nature of that glorified man in that glorified body, the one in which we will also partake of at one time in one day. Now, look here, it's verse 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit. Now look at this. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. That is amazing, isn't it? But of course, you know, Jesus was resurrected in his physical body. The life flow is by the spirit and no longer by the flesh. He's a spirit man. He's the firstborn. There's nobody else like him in all of heaven. And then one day you and I will be just made like him in this glorified state. So, you know, one day, for example, we know, let me just, if you don't mind, I'll just read this. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive will be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And you understand, the graves will open, the dead in Christ will be raised. I mean, all of the particles of their body, no matter where it lays or has been spewed about, it's all going to come together. But it's going to come together, and in the flash, it's going to be filled with the life of the glory of God and the Spirit of God. And we'll be walking in the fullness of the glory of the character and the image and the nature of Jesus himself. That's where you're headed. Hallelujah. Now, you've received the pledge of that in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the pledge. Here, he says here, you know. It's like somebody handing you a sucker. Take a lick. Only one lick now. Okay. Oh, that was good. Well, we're going to put it up here on the shelf till later. We've had a lick of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and to be able to experience, it amazes me. You can be filled with the Spirit as to what the measure of being filled is for now. But one day, you'll be walking in a glorified body made totally, completely like him. Isn't that amazing? And this is something else that gets me. He says, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now look on. Then he says, and while they were still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything to hear to eat? And they gave him a piece of a boiled fish. And he took it and he ate it before them. That tells me we're going to do a little eating in heaven. Well, isn't that right? Let me, you know, for example, let me quote this to you. This is Psalm 78, verse 24 and 25. And he rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Listen to this portion. Man did eat the bread of angels. You know, it wasn't just manna that came down. It was the bread of heaven, according to the word of the Lord. They got a taste of what that was. Jesus ate a boiled fish right there. Now, these things are kind of hard, I think, sometimes for us to really imagine them. We have to accept them by faith. And the one thing I want you to understand is that, you know, the Spirit of God will give you heavenly vision, to where by the power of the Holy Spirit, you won't see your life behind you. You will see your life in front of you. My goodness, how earthbound do we have to get? Let the Holy Spirit loose in your life. Let him loose. Let the Holy Spirit loose in your life. And he'll give you visionary understanding. I think I preached on that one time. Now, visionary understanding that will lift you up to where you will see things that no natural man can see.
that you live by the Spirit and not by the flesh, not by the natural man, but by the Spirit man that has vision to see beyond the things that are going on in the natural. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit will start showing you heaven. Oh, yes, He will. He'll start showing you the things of heaven. He'll give you heavenly vision, right? Because, I just mentioned it a minute ago in Philippians 3:20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're to be living in that heavenly life, in that heavenly realm right now. Only the Holy Spirit can bring you into that, to where those things come alive and they become real and you're convinced of them and you're able to walk in the kingdom of God. Not as if you're still a natural man in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, read Romans 8, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God, and you're no longer in the flesh. The evil one, see, he wants to keep you and I so bogged down, so tied to this intellectual man, so tied to your senses that you interpret everything of life through that view. That's the way the world lives. I'm not of the world. I'm not of the world. I'm not just a churchy person. Right? That's what it's boiled down to today, isn't it? You know, being churchy. You know, well, churchy's not going to save you, and it's not going to bring you into the man of the Spirit at all. You're going to have to reach out to God. You're going to have to begin to call upon His holy name. You're going to have to dare that you're going to be willing to believe God like you've never believed Him before, because the visionary man of the Spirit cannot be loosed in your life till you decide that you're going to walk in faith and you're going to begin to believe God that you don't see, the things that you read about but you don't know. And you're going to believe upon them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the living God is going to loose them in you. Oh, man, I tell you, isn't the Lord good? Oh, goodness gracious sakes alive. All right. And then just look at this. I want you to see this real quick right here. He reminds them that they're going to be stepping off into that man of the Spirit very, very soon as he talks to them right here. And he goes on and he says this in verse 49, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands. Now look at this. And he blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he departed from them. Poof. There he goes. You know, I'll just speak it in a loose way, but just so you know about our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, first of all, there's going to come soon. There's going to come very soon. I don't know when it's going to come. I know there's others that say that. I don't know exactly when. That's okay. I'm just not that self-assured. But anyway, that the rapture will come. But the rapture is talked about in several different places, but in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, you can see it at that point. When will Jesus come? I don't know. Well, there's those that preach a pre-tribulation of the rapture. Then there's a mid-tribulation and there's a post-tribulation. I don't hold to a post-tribulation at all, but I tend to be more mid-trib myself. I really do. I'm not pre-trib, all right? We're just going to be taken out and experience nothing. Well, you understand about the Antichrist, what's to come. Oh, everybody's going to love him. They're just going to love him. They're going to eat him up because he's going to solve the world's problems and all the chaoses that we're having birth pains in right now. Because I want to tell you what, if you want people to obey you, all you have to give them is fear. Now, I'm telling you right now in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that he's taken away the fear of death.
But there are some Christians that are so naturally tied to the natural man and walking in a natural way instead of walking in the heavenly man and the heavenly work of the Holy Spirit that they do not have the reality of that promise of Almighty God. And they run like scared rabbits just like everybody else does in the world because they live more in the flesh than they do in the spirit. And you're going to be devoured in that if you don't get out of it. Come on in. Come on in to the man of the Spirit. Come on in to the heavenly life. Come on in to walking in the way of the Spirit. And let the Spirit of God raise you up and you begin to inherit those things that He wants to bring, those faculties of the glory and of the Spirit and the character and the nature. And one of the natures of Almighty God in the power of the Holy Spirit is that we are fearless. You want to control people? You can do it pretty easy, all through fear. All through fear. It works. Shouldn't be working on us. Oh, yes, we're tempted. I get it. You know, we wrestle. I get it. And those are things to be contended with. They're things to be contended with, not warred against. But I want to tell you what. If you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you let it fill your heart, and you let it fill your mind, and you begin to lay hold of it, you begin to lay hold of the Word of promise, you begin to believe upon the Word of God, you receive it by faith, and you'll find that heavenly man starts to come and take root within you and starts to control your thoughts, your ways, your desires, and your heart. And you will fear no man. That's what the Lord has for us there. You know, then so the rapture. So here comes the Antichrist. And then about midway through the Great Tribulation time, about midway through the Great Tribulation, all of a sudden he demands to be worshipped. I believe at that point we're out of here. I believe at that point we're out of here. You don't have to believe what I believe. Believe what you want to believe, okay? But I believe that the Lord is coming for a church that's without spot or wrinkle, and there's going to be a way of that refining. There's a lot of refining fire yet to come to the church, okay? You just might as well know it right now, okay? There's a whole lot of refining fire that is yet to come into the church so that he has a people that are truly ready for the coming of the Lord. We'll be called, we'll meet them in the air, as the word of the Lord says. And then we find here, you know, as we find that those that are in the grave, the graves are open, they go first, and then it says, and then those of us who remain will, it says, be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And about the time that we get before the presence of the Lord, you'll be wearing that new man. Isn't that incredible? I want you to see this. Go over to Acts chapter 1. You're so close, and so that shouldn't take too much effort, should it? And you'll go over into chapter 1 and look at this. And then I'll bespeak this. Then in Revelation 19 and 7 and 9, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will... And probably, most likely, at that time, you know, when we go to meet with the Lord, and at that time, we, the righteous, you know, the righteous wicked and the righteous God of God are not judged together. They're not judged together. Our judgment will be separate. And we will enter into a time of receiving crowns and rewards. I got a lot to say about rewards, and I'm not going to be doing it right now, but I want you to understand that. You know, how are you living for Jesus today? And when I talk about that, the Word of God says that the ages to come. Did you hear what I said? In the ages to come. We're living right now. We're living in the last days. And this is called the church age. And I want you to look how long the church age has gone on. Before that was what is called the Jewish age. Or the age of the law. How long? How long? How ages throughout all eternity. This is the hour. This is the day that determines what your destiny is in the future. Are you over there? All right, good. And then, so in the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's thought that at that time, after we receive our rewards, we have been changed, we've been made like Him, and at that particular point in time, we will enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's thought to believe, and you don't have to believe this, but it's possible that the marriage supper of the Lamb takes in a time frame about 40 years. About 40 years. Where do you get that? Well, here, let me just, for example, 40 is significant in Scripture, all right? You know, the flood lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was in the wilderness led by the Spirit of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, you say, okay, but let me show you this scripture, and for me, it kind of seals it. And then here is in Acts. Are you there? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now that's very fascinating, isn't it? 40 days. And look, I want you to see, look at how the Lord led them hand by hand. You know, the day of Pentecost is the 50th day after Passover, right? And Jesus spent 40 days with them, all right? And they only had 10 days, you might say, to be by themselves, isn't that right? During that whole period, he nursemaided them all the way into the day of Pentecost. How the Lord will take us by the hand and lead us forward. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's right. Maybe it's wrong. But 40 is very significant, and we can see it all through Scripture. You know, and years, it doesn't really, time doesn't really much matter. But at that particular point in time, then it was tells us in Revelation 20, verse 4, and they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You know, and of course, that's the millennial reign. At that time, when the marriage supper of the Lamb is over, and all, and we know that it won't be like Thanksgiving dinner, right? Okay, we're not going to sit down and I'm stuffed, right? I can't eat anymore. You cooked all morning. You cooked all morning. It took about 20 to 30 minutes to eat the meal. I have you understand the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a little bit different, okay? It's going to be a little bit different from all of that. All right. Now, but you understand, and then, and that time, you understand that we come back with the Lord during the millennial reign. And you'll be in that new glorified body man. And you will be doing just exactly what it says right there in the Word, what we've just read about Jesus. There he was 1 minute, and then the next minute he was gone. And then there are minutes he came back again. Because we'll all have different assignments that will be given to us. We'll be of different responsibilities in that glorified state and man. And a lot of it will depend upon the crowns and the rewards that you have received right before the marriage supper of the Lamb at the final judgment of the righteous. Are you going to live for Jesus? Because I tell you, it's worth every pain. It's worth every problem. It's worth every choice. It's worth every difficulty. Because right now is the hour of testing. This is the hour of choice. We live in the church age, which is also called the age of grace. You want to be that? Go ahead and be it. You want to live that way? Go ahead and live that way. You have choices until you take your last breath. What will be your choice? Let's go to another place. Can we do that? Let's go over here at 1 John and into the third chapter. These are visionary things that are maybe very difficult for us to grasp. I really get that. But I want you to know that the Spirit of God will give you vision
of all the things of the Spirit, because that's how they're made known. They're not a learned. We do not live by a learned knowledge. We live in a revealed knowledge. I'm not saying we don't learn. I'm not saying that learning's not good. I'm not saying any of that, but it can only take you so far. Your intellect can, the church has been bogged down into intellectual pursuit that cannot contain the power of God. Get all of your doctrine lined out and just feel so good about yourself because you got all your doctrine just so neatly cast around here and there. But the one thing that that person fails to realize, that half of the doctrine that they confess that they believe, they do not live. That is called deception. Just because you intellectually hold to it, you think that it applies to you, but it doesn't if you don't walk in it. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you and I. That's what He does for you and I. Now, look at this, if you would, all right? Now, here you are. Are you over here? You're in 1 John. I got just a few more here. Here is 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to look. We're going to look at verse 2, and it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is." Isn't that going to be an incredible, glorious day? You know, do you understand this? You know, you understand that you, when vision is what, how you know. Vision by the Spirit is how you know. You don't know because you read it. You know it because it was made known to you. This is what only the Spirit of God can do. And then when you know it, when you really know it by the Spirit, then you possess it. And when you possess it, then it automatically bears fruit in your life. Are you with me? This is the way of the Spirit versus the way of the natural man. And so do you understand, in that day we will see Him, and we will see Him just as He is. Right now we got so many stuff, you know, that gets in the way. And we also will be made like Him. And here we will be, and we will be looking at the face of Jesus and into ourselves. I can just imagine our, we say into ourselves, I know You. I know You. I know You. What's that worth to you? What's that worth to you? Let me say it again. What's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? Matthew 18 says that it ought to be worth to you that if it means to get your hand cut off, then so be it. If it means that you lose your arm for it, then so be it. Better lose your right hand than to be cast into the hellfire. And He's not talking about us going around and mutilating ourselves, is He? But He's giving a very, very stark picture, right? That means that it's worth everything. Ever heard of the story of the pearl of great price? Ever read that one, right? And so that man, what did he do? He discovered a field with a great pearl, and he sowed everything. Everything, every single thing. He let it all go so that he could get that field that had the pearl of great price. Do we see something out of these descriptions? Do we not see the spirit that we're to possess? Do we not see the attitude that we're to behold? Because before us are the ages to come. The ages to come are before you. Let's give you one last scripture, and let's go to Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit. I'm going to, when do these heavenly things flow? I listed a few things for myself. Number one is that you let the Holy Spirit have his rightful place in your life. All right, number one, you let the Holy Spirit have his rightful place in your life. Number two, I'm going to make reference, is in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, it tells us that we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And we learn to live in kingdom life, not by man's rules, not by a natural man. You know, we live in kingdom life. Jesus lived in kingdom life. Read the Gospels and see what kingdom life looks like. That kingdom life is for you. And then number three is that we present ourselves as bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Peter gets up and he says, no, these men aren't drunk on wine like you think that they are, but this is the fulfillment of what was said in the prophet Joel. And then he quotes what the prophet Joel says, but at the end of it, this is what is said, even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Notice that. What he called them? He called them his bond slaves, all right? His bond slaves. These things do not happen by casual seekers. The way of the Spirit doesn't come upon the casual seeker. It comes upon those that come and present their whole heart before Almighty God. They live for Jesus. They see and they understand what is before them. Eternity, 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 eternity. What little selfish indulgence do you have today that you leave in your life, that you're sacrificing all of eternity on just for that silly little indulgence? It's not worth it. Let's look at this. Now here we are in Romans. And here's what you do. Let me tell you something. There's a birthing process, the things of the spirit man. It's not an automatic change, but it's a birthing process. There's birth pains to give birth to that image of Jesus in your life. You know, there's birth pains that come. There's a birthing process by the Spirit. There's agonizing things to go through. But here's the key element right here, is that whatever, and I have no idea what the Spirit would put his finger upon you today. But, you know, if it's of a fleshly nature and it's not God, you know, you just keep giving it to the Lord and never learn how to live with it. That's the key. And the Holy Spirit, he will deliver you no matter what it would be. He will deliver you. I tell you where you're doomed. Where you're doomed to never be able to be delivered is when the enemy talks you into being satisfied in learning how to live with sin in your life. And you learn how to live with sin and you justify it in whatever means that might be. And you become comfortable with it. And then that's when you're doomed. That's when you will never, ever get that thing ever out of your life. I'm not judging your salvation or anything else. But I know what's flesh and I know what's spirit. And that's very plain in the word of Almighty God. and you can be delivered of every affliction after the flesh. And you can walk perfectly before God. That doesn't mean that you don't repent before the Lord. That doesn't mean that you don't grow. But if you're walking in all of the fullness that you know to walk in, you're walking in all of the light that you know to walk in, you're walking before the Lord with all of your heart, with your whole being, right where you are, and you know that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God has a way that what he does next is he'll show you something else he wants to remove. Isn't that right? Because you're ever being transformed into the character and nature. A man of the Spirit. The image of Jesus. All right, now here we go. And I got to close this thing. All right, here we are. We're in Romans in chapter 8. And look at this. I made reference to it several times. 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined." That was the predetermined plan of all, and mind of Almighty God through the ages. "He also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son." Now look here. "That he might be the firstborn among many brethren." But I want to go on. I want to show you something. Here's now, next verse. "And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called," now look, "these he also justified." Now look. "And whom he justified," what did he do with those that were justified? "And whom he justified, these, everybody say these he also glorified." Now, that word, glorified, is found only in this place, used once in the New Testament, never to be used again, making reference to those that are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you the word. The word glorified is sundoxazo. I'm going to spell it for you. It's sundoxazo. Accent is on that O. Sundoxazo. Now, that comes from several root words right here. The first root word, of course, is doxa. And you know, doxa, that is the Greek word. That is the Greek word for glory. All right? Now, you know, we all are very familiar with the Greek or the Hebrew word, right? You know, for glory, you know, kabod, right? Kabod. And I'll tell you a little story with that in a minute. Kabod, it means glory. It also means weighty. Remember when the glory came down and the priests couldn't stand? Right? They couldn't stand in the temple. The reason they couldn't stand is because they were weighed down. They were weighed down with glory. I was at the Brownsville revival that took place several years ago. And I was there several times. But I was there at that one time. And this was a Sunday morning. And I'll never forget it. And there the worship was going on. And I looked up. And I thought, what is that? And it looked like fog, right? It looked like fog rolling. This is in the sanctuary. Right? Oh, may the fog come on us. I think Scripture calls it the glory cloud. Right, the manifestation, the Shekinah glory of Almighty God, you know, which is the manifested glory of Almighty God, the Shekinah glory. Oh, be loosed in the name of Jesus. Let the glory of the Lord fall in the name of Jesus. Let every soul here be engulfed and consumed with the glory of Almighty God in Jesus' name. Heh heh.